8 o'clock.
Thank you.
Good morning, Lillooet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is News Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started this morning with music by Joseph Haydn. We heard the second movement that comes from one of his mini piano trios. I seem to recall there's more than 35 of them. Something makes me think it might go as high as 50. And most of them productions from fairly late in his life. That was Piano Trio number 25 in G major, and a recording there by Canada's own Griffin Trio. We'll come back and hear them in the finale, the very fun finale of that trio in a few minutes. Right now it's time for weather and road reports, and just before that I need to adjust my headphone levels here, so just pardon me for a sec. Okay, I think that's a bit better now. Let's see. Yesterday, we had a low of 7.5. The high made it all the way up to 19.7. I think that was 3 or 4 degrees higher than was predicted for us. And it was very pleasant in the afternoon. Quite a bit of sunshine then as well. As of 7 a.m., the temperature at 8 degrees. Slightly cool bike ride in this morning, but not bad. Environment Canada tells us today a mixture of sun and cloud with a 40% chance of showers. A high today of 17 degrees, the UV index at 6, which is in the high range again. Tonight, clearing early this evening, a low of plus 5. Tomorrow, mainly sunny. Wind from the south at 20 late in the morning, then increasing to 40 late in the afternoon, and a high tomorrow of 21. That looks like the warmest day of the week. Thursday, a mixture of sun and cloud, a low of 10, a high of 18. Friday, cloudy with a 40% chance for showers, a low of 8, a high of 16. And at this point, Saturday predicted to be cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, a low of 7 and a high of 16. Still time for the weekend forecast to improve as we get a little closer to it. Taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, right now in St. John's, Newfoundland, it is 0 degrees with a light drizzle. It seems a little cool for this late in the morning. Montreal, 8 degrees and mostly cloudy. Toronto is mainly sunny and 11 degrees. Iqaluit, minus 8, partly cloudy. Winnipeg has light rain at 7 degrees. In Regina, it's 5 with mist. Yellowknife, mainly sunny and minus 7. Edmonton is minus 1 and sunny. Calgary, mostly cloudy and minus 1. And Whitehorse is partly cloudy and 5 degrees. Prince George, plus 1 and sunny. And a little closer to home, Clinton is mainly sunny and 5 degrees. Hope, 9 degrees with light rain. Kamloops, mainly sunny and plus 3. 7 degrees in Pemberton. And in Vancouver, it is partly cloudy and 11 degrees. And on the highways, Highway 1, that's the only one I have notes for. Highway 1, there's ditching 16 kilometers east of Lytton, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily through day after tomorrow, Thursday. Single lane alternating traffic there. When I say through, I mean it is continuing through Thursday, but that's supposed to be the last day of it. And there is also ditching taking place from 10 to 12 kilometers east of Cache Creek with a lane closure in effect there. And a little further east, sweeping from 20 kilometers west of Savannah on into Savannah. And that work is 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. That is also continuing through Thursday of this week, and single lane alternating traffic where that's going on. And that is it for the weather and roads. Let us go back to Joseph Haydn. I don't know why he put off writing piano trios so late in his life. Most of them seem to come from around the late 1780s on up to about 1800 and maybe even a little after that. Many of them written when he was on his two concert, very successful concert tours that he made in London. And when I say concert tours, they were really more concert residencies as he lived there for several months each in each case. The piano trios of Haydn are notable, or if you're a cellist, I suppose they are unnotable, because the cello, frankly, doesn't get all that much to do in them. Usually the cellist is just kind of doubling what the bass line of the piano is playing. Here and there, the cello will get a few little solo things to do, but it doesn't happen all that often. So consequently, and then the violin is often playing figures that are more accompaniment figures than melody figures, or it is frequently playing along with the melody in the piano part. It too also does sometimes get its own thing to do, more often than does the cello. But the result is that many people have thought of these trios by Haydn as being sort of piano sonatas with the accompaniment of a violin and a cello. And there's some validity to that way of looking at them, but they are such perfect little pieces in their own right that I don't think anybody would dream of just playing the piano part and leaving out the violin and the cello parts. The particular piano trio we're listening to, number 25 in G major, is notable for its final movement. This is kind of the one Haydn trio that has achieved some degree of popularity. And the final movement is marked, what is it, Rondo all'Ungherese, Rondo in the Hungarian style. It's really the words Hungarian and Gypsy were kind of used at that time, and on well on into the 19th century, they were used kind of interchangeably. And incorrectly. So there are distinct differences. But this is really more Gypsy music than Hungarian music, and Haydn seems to be having a great deal of fun with it. Here are the Griffin Trio, Annalee Patypatenakoon on violin, Roman Boris on cello, and Jamie Parker on piano. Music by Joseph Haydn. We heard the finale from his piano trio number 25 in G major, recording there with the Griffin Trio playing. I just wish that movement was a little bit longer. It just seems like it kind of is over before it's really kind of gotten started, but it is fun along the way. It is 8:15. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lullawet. Also, I'm sorry I wasn't able to be here yesterday for Snooze Button, but I think I should be here the rest of the week. And this morning when I played the encore presentation of Snooze Button, I don't know why, for some reason, I thought that I had one that was longer than it was, and I started it too early, and Consequently, it ended early, and some of you, if you're a regular listener, you may have thought, oh, Jeff's not on the air again, but I am. I'm here. All right, when Snooze Button wraps up, I'll leave you with the Jazz Blues Soul playlist a little later, very little later, at 10 a.m. is People of the Land with your host Rosalind Narcisse. I believe Roz is going to be on the air today. Student broadcasters Grace and William can be heard on weekdays between roughly 11:25 and 12:15 from Lillooet Secondary School. Later today, Democracy Now! From 3 until 4, and then this evening there will be an encore presentation of Music for the Middle Ages, pre-recorded version of it with your hosts Jim and Aura. I also want to mention on Thursday afternoon, 4 p.m., right after Democracy Now!, we're going to start a new feature playing some wonderful spoken word material that is put together by a Lillooet local. And this program is called Texan Cherokee Cowboy Philosopher. At least that's the name that it's going with for now. So that'll be on Thursday afternoon at 4. There is a theme for today's show, which just was sort of something that as I was putting it together, I thought, okay, that went with that, so let's do this. It is all music that comes from the Austro-Hungarian Empire, in the case of Haydn and Schubert coming up, or from Germany a little later on. And if there's time, we'll have an encore from Johann Strauss, keeping everything in German-speaking lands. We're going to hear some vocal music by Schubert now. I don't play a lot of vocal music here on Snooze Button. I like a lot of vocal music. It's just not usually what I feel like listening to at this hour of the morning. I'm not sure about other listeners. Hopefully you'll like this. It's just got some absolutely gorgeous stuff in it. This is a piece called Auf dem Strom, On the River. It was written in the last year of Schubert's life, and it is scored for voice, French horn, and piano. Rather unusual combination at the time. I don't think I'm not aware of any other pieces by major composers from around this time for that combination. In fact, offhand, I can't think of another one by any other major composers, but I'm sure there must be some out there. This is to a poem by Ludwig Rellstab. Schubert set several of his other songs as well. And the poem is sort of a leave-taking poem. It is seems to represent a young man who is on a boat that is pulling away from the shore, and he is bidding farewell to his beloved. But as usual with these things, there are kind of layers and levels behind it, and if you read the text carefully enough, there are suggestions that the leave-taking in question may be a leave-taking not merely from a homeland, but or the beloved one, but leave-taking from life. And in the liner notes to this CD, the pianist Graham Johnson has written about a 10-page essay. I may be exaggerating, it may be only 8 pages, about an 8-page essay on just this one piece. And then he had to also write essays on all the other songs that are included on the CD by Schubert. And then an introductory essay for the whole thing. Let me just see here. Yep, we're still in English right at the end. So this is a total of 111 pages of notes about these songs by Schubert. And this is just for one CD. Very erudite Graham Johnson and a great scholar. Anyway, in the liner notes, he makes a case that this was a tribute to on sh from Schubert to Beethoven, who had died just the year before. And there are there are reasons to accept that Graham Johnson is correct in this. Among other things, there is a very brief quotation in the musical quotation in this song that comes from the second movement, the Funeral March of Beethoven's Third Symphony. There's also a reference in the poem, although the poet Ludwig Rellstab, at the time he wrote this, Beethoven was still alive, and he almost certainly was not thinking of Beethoven when he wrote this piece. But there are two lines that the translation is, "No song can reach me from the shore to bring forth tears of gentle sadness." And it's thought that Schubert might have chosen this poem as a tribute to Beethoven because of the "No song can reach me from the shore" being a poetic reference to Beethoven's deafness. Make of it what you will. I think that the case that Graham Johnson has put forth is wholly convincing. That said, the music doesn't sound like Beethoven. It sounds like Schubert pretty much all the way. We're going to listen to a recording here that features tenor Michael Schade, who is sort of part-time Canadian, as I seem to recall. He sang with in a number of performances with Vancouver Opera when I was in the chorus there. He has a light, rather bright tenor voice. Always takes me a little bit of getting used to initially, but then once I get used to it, I quite like it. He also has a fairly high register or highly high range, which makes this song a little bit easier for him to encompass than some other tenors who sometimes take it transposed down a half step. We'll also hear David Pyott playing the French horn, and as I mentioned, Graham Johnson is the pianist. Music by Schubert.
Thank you.
That was music by Franz Schubert. We have been listening to a song called Auf dem Strom, on the river. Let me just check the translation to be absolutely certain about that. Oh, I have to get through pages and pages of notes here before I get to the first song. And on the river, yes, that is correct. Okay, that was kind of pointless. Michael Schotta was the tenor there, David Pyatt playing the French horn, Graham Johnson playing the piano. That's part of the complete Schubert song edition on the Hyperion label. I think that was about 30, well, this is the last volume, so I can tell, volume 37 of the bunch. Of those 37 individual CDs containing all the songs for Schubert. Actually, it could have been fit on fewer than that because some of the songs are duplicated, sung by different singers on different CDs. I only have, I don't know, 10 or so of those CDs from that edition, but I enjoy them greatly as much, I think, for Graham Johnson's very learned and interesting notes as for the music itself, although I really like that too. Okay, it's 8:32, time for some public service announcements. We'll start with the pool schedule for today. Aquafit class coming up in about a half hour. That runs 9 till 10 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. Later today, everyone welcome, 10:30 to 11:30. Lane swimming, 11:30 until 1. Everyone welcome again, 3:30 until 5. And lane swimming from 7 until 8 p.m. Reminder that today is the day that the Bailey Bridge over Cayuse Creek or Seton River, whichever you wish to call it, it is closed today from 10 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. And also tonight is the first of the navigation classes coming to the rec center here, running tonight, a week from tonight, and then a week from that as well, three successive Tuesdays from 6:30 until 8 p.m. Tonight is navigation basics, learning to read topographic maps and how to use Google Earth. Then next week is using a compass, how to read a compass and apply it to those topographical maps you learned about in the first course. And then the final class is learning how to use a GPS unit and learning about geocaching and route planning. $15 for all three sessions. That's a really good deal. Or if you're a rec center pass holder, only $5. And if you would like more information or would like to register for that, get in touch with the rec center at 256-7527. The District of Lillooet has their Drinking Water Week event coming up Saturday, May the 10th. And maybe week, but it's only one day here that's anything listed. That'll be at the Cayuse Campground at the new water treatment facility, and 1 p.m. will be the mayor's welcome, cake and free barbecue, 1:30 to 4 p.m. group tours, and a chance to win prizes. And there's a website here. I'm guessing this is Lillooet specific, www.drinkingwaterweek.org/challenge, I think. Yes, that's your chance to cool prizes. If you to win cool prizes, is if you take the challenge online. Let's see. The Funky Flower Pot contest is, I guess, underway already. The Village of Clinton has challenged Lillooet to the Funky Flower Pot contest. It doesn't really say what to do here, but I think it's pretty clear. You decorate flower pots, make them really fancy, take your pictures, email your entries to pictures@lillooetbc.ca, or you can drop the photos off at the district office. It doesn't say what the prizes are here, but the deadline for entries is July 12th. And this event is sponsored by the District of Lillooet, Lillooet Timber Mart, Lillooet Feed and Garden, and Rev It Up. And that's all I've got in the way of public service announcements today. There were a lot of things that were all jammed up late last weekend on the weekend. And now that those are out of the way, things have cooled off a little bit again. And I'm sure they'll pick up before too long. For most of the rest of the hour, we're going to turn to music by the German composer Max Reger, born in 1873, very short-lived, unfortunately, died in 1916. Max Reger is a composer a lot of people don't like, more based on the reputation that his music has than on having listened to any of his music. It's one of those cases where you have to pick and choose the music very carefully. For instance, Max Reger's Piano Concerto, stay away from it like the plague. I have a recording of it. It's not a truly bad piece, but it's so thick and it's so turgid and it's so harmonically complicated that it just, I don't know, it seems to be bowed under its own weight. It really, there are just so many notes, more than the brain can really take in. And I've listened to it before, following along with the score very dutifully, and I can reasonably well enjoy it. But then if I turn from that to something a little more thinly textured, it's like a huge relief. However, like I say, pick and choose your Max Reger carefully. Before I introduce the music, I should tell you the one Reger story that is very well known and that endears him to many musicians. He once, he probably many times received negative reviews after concerts of his music. But after reading one of these particular reviews, he decided to respond to the reviewer in question. So he wrote a little letter that said, "Dear sir, as I write you, I am sitting in the smallest room of my house. I have a copy of your review in front of me. Now it is behind me. Yours sincerely, Max Rager." That's a pretty good put down, very cleverly done, I have to say. We're going to hear three of his four tone poems that were based on paintings by the Swiss painter Arnold Böcklin. Böcklin died around 1901, if I recall correctly. Böcklin's most famous painting is called Die Toteninsel, the Isle of the Dead. And in fact, not only did it inspire Rager, but it inspired Sergei Rachmaninoff to write a tone poem based on it as well. And you can very easily find online images for that painting that you might even recognize. It's quite distinctive and quite impressive and awe-inspiring in its own way. Nothing supernatural really about it, but you just look at it and it is foreboding. Forbidding, that's the word I was looking for. But we don't have time for that movement. So I'm actually taking things out of order here. There is an order these were printed in, and I don't know how Max Reger would feel about it, but I just didn't have time for all four of the poems. One of them had to go. I did want to keep a slow one, but I decided not to keep a slow, really mournful one and have one that's got a little bit more light inserted into it. And generally, these are so totally different from his piano concerto. It's absolutely amazing. This is music that I think anybody can relax and enjoy. So we'll first hear Im Spiel der Wellen, In the Play of the Waves, and that is based on all of these, as I say, based on Böcklin paintings. I took a look at that painting. It's a pretty strange-looking painting, but a reasonably lively piece, perhaps even a little more lively than the painting calls for. The painting, there's something vaguely disturbing about it, as there is about a lot of Böcklin's paintings, actually. Then we will go back, for that was the second piece in the Play of the Waves. We'll go back and hear the first piece, which is called Hermit Playing the Violin, and shows an elderly hermit. He's, as it says, playing the violin, and there's a little cherubim standing behind him, looking on in awe, and two more cherubims kind of above him, apparently enjoying his performance. It's got a very serene, spiritual kind of quality to it. You may wonder when it starts, is there really a violin solo in here? Yes, there is. It will come up before too long. Speaking of which, the violin soloist is not named here. And then we will go to the final tone poem after Böcklin, which is called Bacchanal. That needs no particular explanation. I did try to find a painting or a copy of Böcklin's Bacchanal, a picture of it online, just so I would know what was represented. Doesn't seem to have been put online, and in the liner notes for the CD, someone mentions that it's generally considered to be one of his lesser paintings anyway, but it probably seemed like it provided some good musical fodder to Max Reger when he wrote these pieces. So let's hear the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra with conductor Nima Järvi.
Thank you.
That was music by Max Reger. We've been listening to three of the tone poems that he wrote that were based on paintings by Swiss symbolist painter. I believe he's usually referred to as a symbolist, Arnold Böcklin. And that was a recording featuring the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra with Nemi Järvi conducting. Until fairly recently, a lot of Reger's orchestral music hasn't been receiving or hasn't received all the best recordings possible, but this example, I say recent, it goes all the way back to 1988 or so. That is finally a recording of some Reger with a really great orchestra. What are we at? 8:57, and I'm going to have to get out of here fairly soon, but we do have time for an encore, so we're going to listen to a little bit of Johann Strauss Jr. just to lighten things up here at the end, and continuing with our music from German-speaking lands theme. We're going to hear the polka. It's called, or subtitled, a polka française, but the main title given to it is Im Krapfenwaldel, which I just think is really fun to say, Im Krapfenwaldel. The Krapfenwald was a, and presumably still is, although probably smaller now, I was thinking of the forest, sorry. It's a village that's a little bit outside of Vienna, and now it is probably just a suburb of Vienna. Nobody really knows why Johann Strauss gave the polka this particular name. I seem to recall there are cuckoos in this, so maybe there are a lot of cuckoos in the Krapfenwald. But one suggestion I've heard that sounds so wholly convincing to me is that actually in the town of Krapfenwald, there was a tavern known as the Krapfenwald Tavern. And that Johann Strauss was a fan of this tavern and frequented it fairly often. So that theory sounds wholly believable to me, that he might have written a polka just kind of as an homage to one of his favorite taverns. We'll listen to a recording here with the Vienna Philharmonic. The conductor is Willy Boskovsky. Thank you. Music by Johann Strauss Jr. We've heard his polka called Im Krapfenwaldl,